2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, my partner in crime, Dylan White. What's going on, man? How are you? Is it getting a little warmer up there in Canada? It's warming up here.
Yeah, it's supposed to go to, I was going to say 15 Celsius, but you don't know what that is. That's something like, 55, 60?
It's like the kilometers per hour when I'm writing up NPB players. They got to have the kilometers to mile per hour translator. Yeah, you know.
So it's supposed to be warm on the weekend. It's supposed to be warm on the weekend. It's raining now, but it's below zero, so it's kind of freezing when it's hitting. But I think by Monday, all the accumulation of snow from those huge dumps are going to be gone, hopefully.
That's good. Looking forward to that. Just want the snow off the ground. But I'll be in Florida in a couple of weeks and the sunshine. So
there you go.
Sunshine like I was drunk. I promise you I'm not. All right, we're doing AL West prospects this week. We're going to dive right in. We're going to start it off with the Seattle Mariners. Fell to your Blue Jays in the ALCS, but they gave a valiant effort with a Canadian hero from your own backyard, Josh Naylor. All right, so we break this down, as you remember from the last couple, with a few different categories. We talk a 2026 contributor. We then talk who has the highest upside and then an underrated player in the system. We always start off with a 2026 contributor. I got to tell you, Dylan, you said the same thing as me as we were putting together the show notes. There's not a lot of options here outside of Colt Emerson, or you could maybe say Kate Anderson if you're feeling a little frisky. So I don't know, Dylan. I don't think we even have to pick one here. We've talked about Colt Emerson quite a bit. I'm a fan. I think there's going to be value here this year. I don't know if he's going to break camp, but I think he could be up very early and could be, you know, a pretty quick contributor in that lineup. No, it's not the best park to hit in, but there's power, there's feel to hit, and the adjustments that he made in the second half of last season really yielded great results. So there's a lot to like here with Colt Emerson. And I actually made him my final pick in my Tout Wars league that I drafted last week.
Yeah. I think we all like Colt Emerson. I think he's going to be good. He's going to have, you know, like a 120 WRC plus at peak. He's going to have good batting average. He's going to have good OBP. He barrels it up. His EVs aren't bad. I just don't know if it's this year. He's 21, maybe, I think. He's probably not going to have that much power, not that much speed. From a fantasy point of view, kind of like a Brooks Lee, Cole Young, same team contribution. So not the most incredible fantasy in this year. So, yeah, I think it's process of elimination, like you said. Kate Anderson's probably not going to pitch, and if he does, it's not going to be for much time, and so not able to really contribute to your team. Looking at the ADPs and NFBC, the only other guy in their top 30 that's being drafted is Lazaro Montes, and I don't think he's going to be a
contributor. Zero chance.
Yeah, zero, exactly. Zero
chance. I'll make a bet with you, okay?
Okay.
I'll make a bet with you right now. Colt Emerson is up before May 15th.
I can see it. I could definitely see it. I could see it. I don't know if I think
he's going to be up. And I think when you look at what the production was in the second half of last season, the power's there, man. And he hit for power. Look at that, that period. Wasn't in high A. Wasn't in Everett. It was in double A. Mm-hmm. In Arkansas, which is a really tough place to hit for power. So, he got up to AAA at the end of the season. And I think you look at this lineup and I don't think that I think Cole Young is a part-time player at this point. I'm not there with him. I don't think that's a guy that's going to get every day at bats. So I don't know. For me, I think you look at like Dominic Canzone's their DH. He's a strong defender at third base. You move Donovan to second, which is position. I think your infield defense is better, and I think your lineup is better. And I mean, I don't think he's going to pop 20 this year. Would take a lot of at bats to get to that point, but I think 15 is reasonable. I think this is more Corey Seager. That's what this guy is. And I mean, the underlying like power data has been good, dating back to like the minute he stepped into pro ball out of the draft. He's much bigger and stronger than Cole Young. I like by inches, and is hitting the ball a lot harder than Young does, consistently at least, you know. And I think especially if you can isolate the data in the second half of last season, his hard hit numbers, etc., all like went through the roof. So I think it was just adjustments. Like, you know, he was a guy that just hit throughout his life and didn't have to adjust many things. He started to get beat a little bit by velocity in certain parts of the zone, got more upright, and that allowed him to get to you know, more consistent barrels. And I think he's going to be a tremendous player, frankly. You know, we have him top 10, and I think he's going to be really valuable fantasy wise. So I'll disagree with you there, Mr. Emerson.
No, I completely agree that he's going to be valuable, and I think he's a great player. I just don't think it's 2026. Like, do you think he's going to get 15 home runs in, even if he's up by May 15th?
I don't think it's all the way gone that he like can't be up in April. You know, the future's now with this Seattle team, and there's just a gaping hole that he fills. That's like their lineup and their infield defense works better with him on the team. And I think Cole Young is probably not a guy that's going to start for a championship caliber team. And I think this is a Seattle team that frankly is championship caliber at this point. I mean, are they going to beat the Dodgers? That's a, that's $1 million question, but they weren't that far from making the World Series a year ago. And I don't think this is a worse team, you know. They've in it maybe improved in some ways. So, you know, you kind of look at that. You hope that there's health in the rotation. But I don't know. I'm kind of in on Colt Emerson. I think he's sneaky. All right, let's move on to highest upside here. There's a couple of options. Dylan, I'll let you pick.
I think I'll go Ryan Sloan, high school pitcher that you were right on right from the draft. And he's kind of met every expectation. I don't have the data in front of me, but I do have the stuff numbers. We have, you know, above average fastball, very good slider, cutter, changeup. We give him like a 111 stuff plus. I mean, even this year, his projections from projections now is like a 122 whip and a 4.1 ERA as a reliever. Like, that's pretty good for a young kid who's, yeah, I don't know, is even 20. And then like some of the numbers we're seeing in spring training, the stuff models that we're seeing on, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, there've been some stuff models going around. He's kind of just lighting it up. So I think Ryan Sloan, I mean, you could talk about it better than I can, but I think he's got the highest upside probably in this organization.
Yeah. I think you can make that argument. I think probably him or Colt Emerson.
Yeah.
You know, it just, Emerson can't have multiple categories. I'm not as much of a believer in Lazaro Montes as some people are. I think there's huge power here. Certainly he could end up with, you know, enough contact that he gets to 30 plus home runs in a season. But generally the skills aren't that good. He does get on base. But the swing and miss, and I mean, you've seen the end zone whiff rates.
Yeah.
They're pretty atrocious. The power's really come through. He's hitting the ball as hard as just about anybody now. That wasn't the case a few years ago. But he had a little more hit a few years ago. So I don't know if he finds that balance. I just tend to think this is the type of player where it's going to be below average corner in, corner outfield defense, maybe DH, not a lot of batting average value, lots of strikeouts, lots of whiffs, maybe lots of home runs and lots of walks. But it's very much like a three true outcome profile without a lot of supporting skills. And it could be a guy that, you know, could be valuable in fantasy. I'm not saying drop him from your team, but I'm just a little bit less into it. So I would pick Sloan. And then I guess you have to see what Mariners pitching development can do with Kate Anderson. But I'd like to see a little more velo on Kate Anderson, if that's possible. To me, he seems very like number four starter. And that may upset some people. I just don't see that there's like tremendous through the roof upside, just a very safe guy where you're like, oh yeah, he's going to be a rotation guy for a whole bunch of years and, you know, should have some value in deeper dynasty leagues, that sort of thing. But if you took him number one overall, he may not necessarily, you know, return that value. I could be wrong too. The Mariners have done more with less.
Yeah. I mean, the home park is such a advantage for Kate Anderson, even if he is a four, like he should still have a like mid three upper three ERA, still have a pretty good whip. So I agree, like maybe pound for pound, he's not good, but I still think he'll put up fantasy value in that park, in that home park, as long as he's not traded.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's bad. It's just more, setting expectations for what I think he probably is, you know, but could be a valuable player for sure. I don't think it's a bad pick or a bad player to have in your team. I just, you know, want a little more upside. Not going to go crazy there. Say he has the highest upside. Underrated player in this Mariner system. All right, Dylan, who's your pick here? You had a name you had jotted down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one. I think we were talking about it before. I said Michael Arroyo, and I know we have him ranked pretty high. I think we have him like sixth or seventh. Is that right? No, you're not even higher. One, two, three, fifth on the top 30. So, like, we obviously at BA believe in him. RoboScout definitely believes in him. I just get the sense that, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. There was kind of a lot of hype coming in. I think he had a pretty good spring training too last year, and then he just was kind of okay. And then, you know, there's talk of like, what positions he going to play defensively. And so I just kind of feel that there's like a element of fatigue, and, you know, I still think he's a good bat, good eye, pretty good exit velocities, can pretty much handle all kind of pitch types. He barrels it well. He's got good angles. He doesn't chase. Like, all around kind of good player, kind of like a Sal Stewart in that, like, all the Statcast things are kind of red, young for the level, blah, blah, blah. I just feel that people are kind of cooling on him. So maybe that's just a perception thing, that people are underrating him again. I'm just, I guess, reminding everyone that he is still pretty good. And we had defensive data from 2 years ago, and he was a 60, even though I think he was playing second, for most of 2024, but he was pretty good on like number of outs above average for the position and all that. So I think, although there are questions about where he'll play in real life, I think he'll be okay at second base, I think.
So they moved him to the outfield. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, did they? I did not know that, obviously. Yeah.
So they moved him to the outfield. I think some of those metrics with second base defense were like way off, because they had like James Triantos as a really good second baseman. So, you know, I don't know. Some of those metrics can be a little fluky. I went with Nick Beck here, who is a 2025 draftee. His brother will be a draftee out of UVA this year. I think that, you know, you look at Nicky Becker, goes by Nicky Becker. Big athlete, big engine. I think there's power, speed here. Eventually, there's some feel to hit and some skills. I think all this can come together, and I think he's a sneaky kind of FYPD pick as well. So you can count me among those that is a fan of Nick Becker. We have to see something, probably get a little glimpse of him in the spring breakout game. No, everybody's on those rosters right now. I have no idea who's actually going to be in those games. But that will be, you know, kind of our first taste of Nick Becker and all that he can do. So I'm interested to see where that one goes, Dylan, because I do think there is you know, fairly high upside. I guess he did play six games in low A. I had forgotten that. It's a very small sample size, though. very small. So nothing to read into. All right, Dylan, anything else you wanted to mention on the Seattle Mariners before we move on to the next group here?
Not really. I mean, just when I was trying to find someone who's underrated, just Ryland Thomas. He's on the 40 man, 25 years old, outfield, really good contact.
Yeah.
Doesn't strike out, had like a 9% strikeout rate. His defense looks pretty good too. although maybe I'll stop talking about minor league defense. Doesn't have any power, doesn't barrel it at all as well as all contact, kind of like slap hitting. But, you know, he may make it into the majors this year. So like deep cut. I wouldn't be picking him up anywhere, but don't be surprised if he, you know, plays in the majors this year. Ryland Thomas.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Astros. 2026 contributor, Dylan. Who you going with? I think there's a ton of options here.
Yeah, I think Bryce Matthews is probably the best choice, or Zach Cole. I actually have both of them on some on my teams. I've taken them. You know, I'll talk about Zach Cole instead. I'll give you Bryce Matthews if you're interested. Zach Cole kind of fits the Astros archetype, I guess. Is like big power, exit velocity numbers, maybe not the greatest contact. Also could steal, you know, 20 plus bases. And Cole, I think, is pretty good defensively too. So he was penciled in roster resource as possibly starting in center. There's Jake Myers as well, I guess, but it's a power speed, probably not good batting average, but the defense may get him in there more often than not. So I got him as the 2026 contributor. Did I put him on the sheet beforehand? I guess I didn't.
You did. Okay, yeah. I think it's totally possible. Whether it's Cole or Matthews, both are interesting because they have lots of tools. Matthews, there's a power speed combo there. Cole, obviously huge power and on base ability. The hit tools of both of them scare the heck out of me. I mean, There's a lot of whiff between the two of them. Got to hope that some of Cole's adjustments that kind of spurred that whole breakout in the upper minors and then, you know, obviously rolled that wave to the big leagues, that he can sustain that. I just don't know that he necessarily can. I actually like some of the sort of pitchers in the fringe here. I know that they have a whole lot of depth within this rotation at the moment, but one of those guys is Christian Javier, who did come back from Tommy John late last year. Another one of those guys that's penciled in the rotation is Lance McCullers Jr., which he's 32 years old now. And I mean, we sort of know what the story is. It's year 10 with Lance McCullers. You know, Burrows, who I think is a really nice play this year, but we don't know how many innings he's going to carry. And then Ryan Weiss, who they brought over from the KBO, and kind of the same questions of like how that's going to translate, how it's going to carry. Amai has some innings questions as well. Really the only guy without any innings questions in this rotation is their ace, Hunter Brown. So, you know, you look at all the arms that have gotten hurt. There's a couple of guys here that I think could potentially factor in. You know, Spencer Arrighetti is no longer a prospect. He's kind of on the fringe there. Miguel Yola, but I think AJ Bluebaugh came up, was pretty good last year. They've already used an option, so I think like he could be maybe the next guy potentially up if there is an injury and could slide into that rotation. I'm not saying he's going to be gangbusters, but we've seen time and time again with the Astros over the years, they do a really good job of developing starting pitching, having a lot of these guys kind of in AAA ready to jump in at a moment's notice, and then making kind of seamless transitions. And sometimes it's guys that pitch above their heads. We certainly saw that a few years ago with JP France, who had a couple of decent years for the Astros, or at least a decent year for the Astros. And then Ronel Blanco before he went down with injury. So I look at Bluebaugh. There's some stuff to like here within the stuff. The other guy is Ethan Petko. I think, you know, was in the upper minors. There's stuff to like about Petko. He's 40-man eligible at the end of the year. It wouldn't be crazy for them if there's a space open or there's some need or somebody that jumps in the 60-man if they were to add him to the 40-man roster. So I think that's you know, that's a couple of names to consider. I don't know how much the upside is with any of these guys in 2026, but they're all guys that contribute. And I think we've seen some Astros devil magic before, with some of these guys. So it wouldn't be crazy for any of them to have useful seasons. All right, Dylan, let's move over to highest upside. Who are you going with there?
I think it's got to be Xavier Nyans. He's got the best upside of becoming a barber or a hairdresser. I don't know if you've been seeing those tweets. I think he got barber shears as a gift or something like that. I mean, this is kind of your baby. It's your team that you cover, and also he's a high school guy. So I don't have as much access to the data. So I'm kind of going off of, you know, what our team does. But you know, from what I understand, big body, power. I mean, maybe you should talk before I embarrass myself.
Not at all. No, I think that's right. Like, power hitter. It's kind of like you either like him or Ethan Holiday was kind of a question, because I think both of them can end up at third base. There's big power. There's hit tool questions. The Astros might have done Nyans the favor of not throwing him to the Wolves after the draft, which the Rockies didn't necessarily do with Holiday. So, yeah, I think, you know, you look at what he could potentially be, and I think there's as much upside here as any player that they've had in this Astros system in quite a long time. So, yeah, I think Nyans is definitely a good call out. The other one that I would say is Kevin Alvarez. And I think you've probably seen some of the data there. There's even more power coming. Some of the EVs that I've seen this spring have been even louder. It's a bigger body. I think we kind of always knew it was coming. The power was always good, but it wasn't like as crazy as you would think it was as to how big he is. The underlying skills were really good. Bat to ball ability, Dylan, as well as on base ability. And you know, I think there's a little blow up potential here. Like, it's not all that dissimilar from a lot of the positive things that I said about Justin Gonzalez last week. He's not the athlete Gonzalez is. I don't think he's not quite as big as Gonzalez, but it is a bigger body. There's a lot of power projection, but a lot of refined skill in a young player who could have a lot of success now that he's coming stateside. And that will only raise the profile, especially if he gets to a full season level for a good chunk of the season and performs. I don't know if you had any thoughts on Kevin Alvarez.
No, what I like about Alvarez is the bat to ball, like good contact and good in zone contact. And like coming into the season, I would have said if I could see a little more power, that I'd be very interested. And you know, you saying that the exit velocities that you've seen are got more and more thumps, that's definitely got my attention.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, age consideration, all that stuff, they weren't bad, but you're hoping for, you know, more to continue showing up and to get some of the outlier power. Underrated player. Obviously, I cover the system, so I have a couple of favorites myself. I don't know if, you know, you have one of these names that you like or that you want to discuss a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Lucas Spence. I wrote about him last year. He kind of, the StatCast data kind of popped, and I asked you about him, and you're like, yeah, there was a swing change. And yeah, I just, all the underlying I really like. His 90th percentile exit velocity is 104.6. The year before it was 102. So he added like 3 miles per hour on his 90th. His contact is basically average. He does not chase. He's never chased, but his barrel rate really improved. So he's got his angles much more improved. So yeah, I like Lucas Spence. He's kind of, like I said, the archetype of the Astros is like big power and maybe not much contact, but Lucas Spence is kind of putting together the contact. So he may not have as much power in there as the others, but I do think he's underrated. He's available in a couple of my leagues. He got taken in one of them, but like he seems to be like very sneaky and definitely underrated for what it looks like he can contribute.
Yeah, and he's a good defender, was a two-way guy in college, and really only committed to full-time hitting in the last couple of, like, year and a half. So some of those gains and the fact that he got up to AA, you know, there was velo there when he was on the mound. So the arm is really good in the outfield, and he's above average to maybe a plus defender in center. He's really good out there. That could get him opportunities, and as you can see with the underlying data, the skills are really good. So like, I think the transition will be smoother than people realize. I think he's like one of the more underrated players just generally in baseball. So agree with you there on that call out. The other name that I'll throw out here, I've written about him maybe at the end of the year, beginning of the off season, was Anthony Cueto. It's funny, like he was a guy that got drafted really, really young out of, I think it was Cali High School, and didn't really take to pro ball at first. And I think was a guy that coming into this season was probably on the bubble to remain in affiliated baseball. Still super young though, and he had a really big breakout. The skills aren't great, but the power is huge. He gets to it. There's good angles there with the power. It's pretty outlier power for his age and how young he is. Then he went to Australia this winter and performed there in the Australian Baseball League. So a lot to like about Cueto. He's another name to know here and probably still fairly cheap in most dynasty formats and likely readily available. All right, Dylan, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Oakland Athletics. All right, and we are back talking Oakland A's. Dylan, let's start it off with a 2026 contributor. I feel like 2026 contributor and highest upside are very much blurred lines in this system.
Yeah, I got to go Gage Jump. He's being taken sort of like the 43rd round ADP wise. I don't hate it. He got up to double A, I think the highest, and like threw 80 innings there. Kind of was near the top of the high A RoboScout all year, got to double A, kind of slowed down a bit, but you know, there's always an adjustment at the upper minors. I think if he gets up, he can have like an average like whip and an average ERA with a, you know, pretty good strikeouts too. So I think, you know, the Athletics have done pretty well. Like Jacob Lopez kind of exceeded expectations and Jack Perkins has done pretty well. So like, I think their pitching is kind of underrated. I know people stay away from them because, you know, the Athletics are a scary team, not a great team. And they're playing in a park that's not the greatest home park, but I think, you know, Gage Jump will probably contribute in 2026, and I think he'll be pretty reasonable.
I've always been a Gage Jump fan, so I'm not going to argue with you there. And I think, like, some of his tendencies, you know, could potentially allow him to succeed even in a ballpark where the ball flies. You know, there's strikeout skills there. He generates lots of pop-ups, lots of infield flies. At like a higher rate, good secondaries. And, you know, I just think generally knows how to pitch. So, you know, maybe it hurts the ERA and maybe it hurts the whip a little bit, like overall, as opposed to if he was in a more neutral environment. But the K's are still going to be there. And I think he's a good enough pitcher that it's still going to be like acceptable ratios. So I agree with you there. And I even think this is a team that could like sneaky be a contributor. And guys like Jump or Braden Nett, who I was going to call out, who has some velocity, was a pretty good get for them from the Padres last year. And like, I think both of these guys could potentially fill some holes and in this rotation, maybe giving them length out of the bullpen, some spot starts throughout the season or later down the stretch. Maybe they find their legs and really take off. I think there's upside here, and I think you made a good point about the athletic pitching development of late and that they've gotten the most out of a lot of these guys that maybe were a little underrated or like secondary names that people really weren't thinking about. Certainly Lopez falls into that category. Highest upside, Dylan, who do you want to go with here? I think there's two fun names. I'll talk about either of them. So
I'll go Leo DeVree.
Yeah.
He, you know, as an 18-year-old, made it to double A in 103 plate appearances at a 144 WRC plus. So, you know, being that young in the upper minors and, you know, hitting well above average, you know, RoboScout's going to like that. So, I mean, RoboScout has him as at peak to be 280 batting average, 360 on base, 130 WRC plus with, you know, 25 home runs and, you know, 6 to 10 steals. So that's pretty good upside. that's kind of Corey Seager-ish. A 360 on base with a 280 batting average with 25 home runs. Not bad. He'll be in AAA as a 19-year-old. Probably could see, maybe not probably, but could see time. It would be.
It wouldn't shock him. Yeah. I mean, where does he play? But I wouldn't be totally shocked.
And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a good get for the Athletics and very high upside. Some of the highest upside of in the AL West, I think.
Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. Let's move on to the next one here. I don't think we have to go Jamie Arnold in the highest upside, honestly, because I think it's Leo DeVries. I don't even want to give a second one there. Like, I could try to make an argument for Arnold. I think he's going to be a good rotation arm, but it's probably more like a number three. If DeVries can add a little bit more strength, the angles are so good, the skills are so good, that he could really be a pretty dynamic hitter in the middle of that order, teaming up with Nick Kurtz, right, for a whole bunch of years. Could be very exciting. All right, Tone. I'm going to leave you the most underrated player. Dude, just wax poetic for as many minutes as you'd like about this guy.
So it's Wei-Yan Lin, RoboScout darling. He was 19 last year. I think the first few five maybe starts, he didn't walk a batter. Finished low A, looking at it here, with a 3% walk rate, with a 34% strikeout rate. As a 19-year-old, got up to high A, 30 innings there. He kind of lost the command, 10% walk rate. But, you know, overall, RoboScout season, just because he's young, that's primarily what it is, as a 115 whip, 3.7 ERA, with a pretty good K rate and a very low walk rate. The stuff, that's what people are concerned about, which is why we call him underrated. He has he kind of sits 91, 92. I've seen some numbers this year that it's a bit higher. He's got a good changeup. He's got good slider and curve that he can command, obviously. So I think he's a pitchability guy, knows how to pitch. He pitched internationally, like on our 18 league for Taiwan, I believe.
He's on the WBC roster, baby.
On the WBC roster as well. So like he's at a young age has been on the international stage, so he's seen the glitz and the lights. So he's not going to be blown away by pressure. I don't think this is like a Yumin Lin from the Diamondbacks, you may remember, who had really good numbers, but the stuff was never really good, and he never really got the velocity up there. I think this is a bit better than that. And as we talked about, the Athletics seemingly know what they're doing in terms of pitching development right now. So Wei-Yan Lin is our underrated guy for the Athletics.
Yeah, I love that one, and I was just going to let you talk on it. Let's move on to the Texas Rangers. I got to be honest, these last two ones, and the Texas Rangers and the Angels, these aren't going to be easy conversations here. 2026 contributor, we might have been able to say Sebastian Walcott. There's still a chance he's going to be back later in the season, but with his elbow injury, he's going to be out for most of the year, so he's probably not going to contribute in the big leagues. Who do you want to go with here, Dylan?
So a couple guys have been taken in the NFBC, a couple pitchers, Jose Corniel, David Davalillo. I personally like Davalillo. We have, under the StatCast data, we have 8 classifications of pitches that he has. And they're all pretty good. His normalized stuff plus is 104. RoboScout has his peak projection as a 123 whip and a 380 ERA with a 51% ground ball rate. So it's pretty good. Keeps it in the park. Doesn't walk many guys. He may not blow you away with power, but, you know, obviously he's got a bag of tricks in him. So I don't know if he's going to contribute in Texas this year. Maybe he will. They kind of traded away the guys that might have contributed to get Merrill Kelly. So it's kind of, this is the second tier. So I don't know if he's going to contribute, but he's probably got the best shot of anybody else, him and Corniel, if you want to talk about Corniel, maybe.
No, I mean, I like both of them. You know, I think Davalio or Corniel, either of them could contribute. I think there's more upside with Davalio, honestly. So if I had to make a pick right now on the clock, going with Davalio over Corniel. Corniel did get up. I think there's like enough there, but it's more, it feels like kind of up and down rotation fodder a little bit. Am I wrong to think that way? Like, I don't think I would necessarily, like, I understand like maybe like a DC, if it's like the later rounds, taking a chance on him. But it would be more like last 10 picks, like round 40 to 50. That's kind of where I would view him. I don't know if that's how he's being drafted or not, but
yeah, he's like 50th round. He's being at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's perfectly fine to me. I have no issues with that. Wouldn't argue with it whatsoever. Let's move on to highest upside. I don't know, Dylan. It's kind of dealer's choice. I know you wrote down Scarborough. If you want to talk about Caden Scarborough, who unfortunately, you know, had a little health scare with I think it was melanoma. Was treated for it and is back at camp. But it's certainly something he's going to have to deal with too. I don't know if you want to go with Scarborough, Walcott, A.J. Russell. I think there's some interesting names here. Who your pick be?
I'll go Scarborough. I know more about him than Russell. I know Scarborough, you talked about him many times last year. The underlying data popped, underrated guy, sleeper guy. Like you talked about him, I don't know, many, many times. Sits 94, super flat fastball, minus 4.3, good extension, over 6.5 feet. Has a sweeper that has 16 inches of sweep, also has a changeup. At low A, he ended up being in the top six at RoboScout. 32% walk rate, 32.3% K rate, 6.5% walk rate. Pretty good swinging strike, reasonable ground ball rate. His peak projection is kind of what I said about David Davalio as well, like a 1.2 whip, 3.8 ERA. I like the stuff. He was 20 last year, so he's still pretty young, lots of peak to go. The Rangers are pretty good at pitching development too. They ended up with a lot of pitchers in their system last year. They traded, like I said, they traded a bunch of them from Merrill Kelly, but Caden Scarborough is my guy.
Yeah, I like Scarborough a lot. I think that's a really good call out. I'm going to take a minute here to just say, I think it could be Sebastian Walcott, but everyone knows about Sebastian Walcott, so we won't talk about that. I do think he truly has the highest upside in this system, though.
Yeah,
between the tools, the speed, the power, if everything comes together, he could be a superstar, particularly in fantasy. But we'll have to wait to see if that comes to fruition or not, at least for another year. I'm going to go with AJ Russell. I think this is a really interesting target. The Rangers have done a great job of targeting these sort of highly rated, great performing college starters that get hurt at the wrong time and then they become cheaper on draft day. Hageman was one of those. We saw what that did. Certainly, I think that this falls into that category. Russell, for me, would have been a first rounder had he been healthy. Everything went through. It's great stuff. If he can prove that he can be durable enough to consistently start, make 5 to 6 inning turns, at least in the minors once a week, over the first year, I think that's a big hurdle to overcome for him because the stuff is unbelievable. And this is a guy that could be this year's like Peyton Tolley. This could be the guy that takes the biggest step forward next year. Almost gave me an idea for an article. Maybe I'll write that. But yeah, I mean, I love AJ Russell. I know that the people inside that organization kind of view him as the guy that has the greatest blow up potential for them this year. Underrated player. Do you have another name you want to throw out here? Or do you want me to just kick off a couple of guys? This is a tough system, dude. There is not a lot of underrated players left in the Rangers system. They traded them all away.
Why don't you talk to me about Jack Wheeler? I saw a couple tweets that we made, and I really liked the swing on the highlight that we linked. And I didn't take him in FYPD, but I was really thinking about it.
Yeah, and he's like cheap in FYPD. There's power potentially and feel to hit. you know, high school third baseman. So we'll see where that goes. But I think there's like a hit power combination that you can kind of dream on a little bit. Those guys don't always come to fruition, you know. Sometimes, you know, they end up, I'm trying to think of what the guy's name was. Colin Fisher? Like, what was the guy with the Astros? Yeah, I think that's who it was. It's like sometimes they just end up like not working out and they're like okay and put up like good underlying like minor league numbers for a few years. You're like, all right, maybe this is something, and it never really is good enough. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's some real upside. I think there's some upside here. The other guy I'll call out is Seong Jun Kim, who they had signed with some money that they had traded with that in the Sasaki, or they had traded for Sasaki money they weren't able to spend. And then this is what they ended up doing. They ended up signing. He's a two-way player. We'll see where it goes. But there's some skills there. There's some upside. All right, Dylan, we've come to the end of it. We've come to the Los Angeles Angels. And the 2026 contributor for me could be literally anybody, including the 2026 first-round draft pick. He could contribute this year. We don't know. It's the Angels. Is there anybody here you wanted to call out? Bremner, Rada, someone like that?
I mean, I like Rada. I'll talk about him. He's always been near the top of Robusca just because he's so young. He, you know, doesn't have much young for the level. He doesn't have much power, but he plays center field. He can steal 30, 35 bases. He very much could be in the mix in 2026. They traded for Josh Lowe, which kind of put a damper on things for people who are excited about him playing for the Angels. So right now they have Trout at DH, though he wants to play center. Play outfield. Joe Adell, Jorge Soler, and Josh Lowe with Bryce Teodosio as kind of the backup. That's what they have a roster resource now. So Nelson Arada's kind of pushed down a bit on that depth chart. But I could see him coming in. I could see him being a guy that could steal you, you know, 15 bases in the last third of the season. But you won't want to be playing him because he's not going to be starting much. He'll be just coming in as a pinch hitter and a defensive replacement maybe. But I could see him contributing in 2026, Nelson Arada.
I like that. Agree. Got the WBC starting up right now, so I got to make sure I got it on my screen, Dylan. It's very important. I'm not a huge Nelson Rada fan, but like I said to you before the show, I tend not to draft like the batting average speed guys. I could see a scenario where he ends up being like a valuable fantasy guy for a few years. And maybe without contributing in like in terms of big power numbers, but I think, you know, good enough. The name I'll call out is Tyler Bremner. Always call out the Angels first round pick. They could always contribute. It's an interesting arm. I don't know where this goes. There's some things that need to be tweaked. There's a lot to like. It's a flatter vertical approach angle. He gets a decent amount of ride from that. Got velocity. He throws everything hard. The slider was weird. I discussed this with Taylor Blake Ward earlier this week in our Angels deep dive. But the slider actually, in terms of like performance, went backwards a little bit last year, but he throws it pretty hard. It's like a mid to high 80s kind of gyro cut slider. So I think maybe there's a better shape there. It's just, can the Angels be the ones to coax that out of him? They don't have a great track record. And now we're going to talk about highest upside, and we're going to talk more pitchers about an organization that doesn't have a great track record of developing these guys. Do you have a name that you want to call out there in the highest upside category?
I'm going to go George Claussen. It's funny, the highest upside pitcher on the Angels kind of cut his teeth in the Phillies organization. But yeah, 23 years old, made it to AA, 102 innings. The issue with Claussen's not the stuff, it's the command and control. He had a 10% walk rate, which kind of highlights what we're talking about, but you know, he's throwing 97, sits 97 with the fastball, has a 90 mile an hour slider. So immediately you've got two pitches that are probably bordering on plus. Also has a curve and a change. It's just, if he can harness it, it's the highest upside. So he's a stuff monster, made it to AA. He might even come into in the majors this year. But like you said, anybody in the organization could. But George Claussen I have is the highest upside guy for the Angels.
Yeah, I think that's probably the answer. I guess, like, as a honorable mention, I'll throw out Trey Gregory Alford. He throws really hard. He's a super athlete. I think there's more that could come of this. The performance was better than the underlying metrics. believe it is, and I would agree with that. The command is still very fringy. He doesn't miss as many bats as you would hope either. So, like, I'm kind of like digging for something here in the Angels system to talk about besides George Klaassen. But I think the answer is George Klaassen. So then we've come to the final question here on the Angels. Who's an underrated player in this system? This is definitely digging into the deepest of treasure troves to try to find a prize. But what's your name here?
I mean, it is kind of going through the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to say Denzer Guzman. He was 21 years old in AAA, debuted in the majors when Neto got hurt. Didn't do great. Did not hit very well. His defense wasn't very good either. But he was 21 in AAA. That's very young for the level. He had a 126 WRC plus in just under 400 plate appearances. The exit velocities are pretty good. 104.90th. He doesn't chase. He barreled it up. His contact's not the greatest, but this is all just purely he's young with the upper levels, debuted in the majors. Like, I don't think anyone thinks Denzer Guzman's going to be a star or maybe even a regular, but, you know, he could surprise later in a dynasty league. I think if, you know, in a couple of years, he could be a guy that is contributing and is useful. But, you know, I'm not too convicted standing behind Denzer Guzman being the most underrated player in the Angels.
Yeah. Rowdy Rodriguez is the name I'll call out. And I'm not that all gassed about this guy either. But there's big power and speed and tools. And, like, I don't know. I threw a Frenchy Cordero comp on him before the show. And I kind of feel like that's appropriate. So, you know, maybe it's a little flash in the panty and people get excited. But, yeah, this system in particular was not my cup of tea. I would also say that of the three divisions that we've done so far, this is the one that I'm least excited about. There were least amount of good answers. So get it together, AL West. You know, you graduated too many good prospects. Dylan, good show. Thanks for joining me today. Everybody that tuned in, thanks for listening along and supporting Baseball America. As always, I thank you folks, because this is how we get to do what we do every single day. For Jeff, for Dylan, this has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers. Cheers.